It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our family leisure studios. Johnny Hill producing as always. We're Sports Time. We're with you for the next 3 hours to get you to the weekend, and we've got plenty of things to talk about today. Obviously, the NFL draft last night, NBA playoffs rolling right along. Don't look now, but an hour and a half from now, we'll have a NBA playoff game tipping off between the Pacers and the Bucks. So a lot to get into over these next 3 hours. But Brett, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Great programming by ESPN. Everybody kind of there for our draft coverage. Throw that NBA game in there. Draft coverage, go over to ESPN too, and always NFL Network. What did you watch predominantly last night? Did you watch ABC, ESPN, or NFL Network?
I was on ESPN. I didn't even know. I mean, I know that's on those other stations, but it didn't even hit me that it was on those other stations while I was watching it. My brother was watching Pat McAfee, so I saw a lot of his coverage of it with Bill Belichick, who was great. So yeah, I was mainly on ESPN last night.
I did not do a lot of back channel last night. I did not watch a lot of NBA, and wasn't a lot of baseball to watch. Right. I stayed on ABC on Nick Saban.
Yeah, no,
and it was masterclass.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I didn't even know he was on the broadcast until late in the draft. And I saw somebody tweet out something about something Nick Saban said, and I was like, well, where is he? And then I realized I saw one of the videos. I was like, oh, he's on ABC. And so I flipped it over there, and I saw him for the last maybe 30 minutes of the draft, and really good. And I think, just solidifying what we had kind of started to see last year when he started doing a couple of media appearances throughout the season. And then when the season was over, he's going to be great with ESPN and this kind of post-coaching media route that he's taking. He's going to be unbelievable.
There was a point last night where his handle on everything, whether it was X and O's or the players being drafted, because all those players, and I saw the tweet today of the stars don't matter crowd on recruiting.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, they do. if you're not a 5 or 4 star, right, you probably didn't get drafted last night in the first round. Some threes, I think 1-2 star. But 5s and 4s is what goes in the first round. Now, when they sign, that doesn't mean instant success for them in college. But if they sign as a 5 or 4 and make it through college, that's where they end up, is in the first round.
Yeah.
And you know, whether he had them at Alabama or not, he was in on every one of them recruiting.
He sure was. And so he definitely has a good handle on a lot of these guys. And no, what I saw at least was really, really good. And then, like I mentioned, Bill Belichick, who it sounds like he's going to do a lot of media this year. Now that he's not coaching, he was on with Pat last night. I thought he did a great job. Obviously, a guy that has been in that
organization. I didn't see any. Was he relaxed and conversational?
Very.
And Johnny, just like Nick Saban, I mean, this rough, gruff, all business, when it's business exterior, I don't think it's ever captured kind of the real them, especially Nick Saban, because you can't go in and be able to get up close and personal and have that attachment to families and be a royal Scrooge.
Yeah, right.
There's just no way. Now, Bill Belichick probably can a little more because it's no veneer of anything around it other than all business. This is your job. You get a game check Tuesday morning for a reason.
Right, yeah.
Now, that's a lot of the whole atmosphere at Alabama, too.
Sure, absolutely.
It's just not a game check on Tuesday.
Right, a little different, but a lot of the same.
But a lot of the same, but you just can't be that good, again, with Nick Saban, with the booster donor class and the parents and the high school coaches, and be what so many think wrongly that he is. You know, he has to have that charm, and he did. And last year when I saw Bill Belichick on the day of the Army Navy game on game day, that's when I knew. I said, you know, whenever it ends, I didn't know it was ending last year. Whenever it ends, he's going to be fine as an analyst because I think almost gregarious.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I'm with you. And so I'm glad to hear that he was good last night with the draft. And like I said, Bill Belichick was really good as well, kind of just breaking down guys. And obviously he's been in those rooms for, you know, most of the last however many years. I mean, he's been a part of these draft discussions, and so he knows what translates to the NFL and what these teams are looking for. So he was really good. But it was a good night of the draft. All around.
Started slow,
and I think kind of started how we thought it would, with, you know, it being pretty chalky at the top, but then it changed pretty quickly with the Falcons taking Michael Penix at number 8. And you know, first 14 players, offensive players that were drafted last night was very interesting. I think the amount of skill guys that went early was surprising. But I thought a fun night for the draft.
I did too. Where are you on the Falcons?
This morning I was, or last night I was, my mind was blown. This morning my mind was blown still. But the more information that's coming out about it, you know, it's whatever. I don't really care what the Falcons do, but, you know, I kind of understand it a little bit more. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I think whatever side it goes, we'll be talking about it for a long time. This is not a pick that we're just going to say, okay, and then move on. One way or the other, it's going to be talked about.
I don't like that Michael Penix is getting a little bit, not crushed, but criticized.
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't think it's fair for Kirk Cousins to be criticized because he's done it in that league.
Sure.
But I'm not where so many are of, you know, that the Falcons and Arthur Blank should sell the team. You know, what's he doing here? Now, they're going to be criticized however it goes. And Johnny and I were texting last night. Johnny, you said at the Senior Bowl that no quarterback looked better than Penix.
Yeah, and it really wasn't even close. Like, even his demeanor, like how he was getting guys together, he was rallying the guys. Like, I love his game. Like, his game, the deep ball is there. We all seen the deep ball. But the leadership aspect that he have to be around other top-tier talent and lead them down the field in practices and really taking control of the huddle. Not saying Bo Nix didn't really do that, but he didn't display it like how Penix did. He really
showed
that he was
the guy at the Senior Bowl. He's a grown man. He's a full-grown man, isn't he, Johnny?
Yes, I mean, he is.
There's no class clown
too,
in him.
Man. Bigger in person. Like, and he also is a nice person. So you really want that type of, like, qualities in a franchise quarterback. A guy who is nice to everybody. He was nice to the media. Like, he took time with everybody. That's what you want in a quarterback.
Sure. Absolutely. So, no, but I mean, I think the frustration needs to be the fact that, you know, it feels like you either do one or the other. You go and you sign a Kirk Cousins to a massive contract. Or you go out and you draft a quarterback in the top 10. You know, you don't really see many teams going with both.
Buy the having Rodgers and then drafting Jordan Love? Here's one thing I don't buy about it. Aaron Rodgers had won a Super Bowl and had been to NFC championship games with the Packers. Kirk Cousins hadn't broken a sweat yet.
Right. Well,
had a Falcons.
Great point.
And even more than that, I mean, even go further back than just the players. That's a, I mean, what did we talk about yesterday with the amount of number one overall picks that the Packers have had in their history? That's a historically great franchise in the Packers.
A granddaddy.
Pretty much count on that.
And they drafted Jordan Love late in the first round. It wasn't a top 10
point,
pick.
Brad.
And
great
so
point.
When
right.
when I see people say that, I guess I understand what they're saying. But it's just so different. Like you said, Aaron Rodgers, you knew what he was going to do. You knew, and obviously you know with Kirk Cousins, both coming towards the end of their career. But I just think such different circumstances. When what have the Atlanta Falcons won lately? I mean, they're a team that's still trying to build something.
I'll get to it in my not top story.
Perfect.
Exactly what they've won since being
perfect.
Up 28 to 3.
Perfect. Because, I mean, it just seems like, I mean, Packers were there. They were competing.
Spoiler alert. Not a lot.
Not a lot. Nothing. So I was blown away last night. I was sitting there. I guess I can reveal this. I was going to mention it yesterday, but we ran out of time. I may or may not have put three different bets on J.J. McCarthy last night.
You did. You did.
I showed Johnny.
Please tell me you raked on every one of them.
Well, we couldn't win all three. One was to hedge. Okay. And so we won two of the three. So we came out with money.
Bought a little insurance. I don't mind that.
That's right. So we bet on J.J. McCarthy to be drafted outside of the top five. Which you know was easy, and then we put two bets: one for him to be drafted by the Giants, and one for him to be drafted by the Vikings. I felt very confident about one of those two teams would take him. And when I was watching on ESPN, and they say, "Adam Schefter, I hear we have some interesting news with the Atlanta Falcons," and he goes, "Yep,
listen up, man.
I'm hearing that they really are thinking about going quarterback here, and that they might take one of these quarterbacks remaining on the board." And I go, "Oh no! I know we won that one, but I mean the Vikings are right there. If the Falcons don't take a quarterback, J.J. McCarthy is a Viking, and so I was worried. Then they go with Penix, which." It blew my mind more.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, and Johnny, you were kind of alluding to this, I think. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But this whole time, I thought Michael Penix Jr. is a better quarterback, a better prospect than J.J. McCarthy. And so I'm not surprised that he was taken higher. I was surprised that all the mock drafts had J.J. McCarthy going higher.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of glad that Penix went higher than him. But I just don't know if I like where he's going.
Great going, Brian. And now, you know the biggest bookmaking operation in the country. You know where it is, don't you?
No, where's that?
Wall Street. We call it the New York Stock Exchange.
That's right.
And we call them, you know, hedge funders, right. Or
you know, more professional titles, I guess.
Yeah, or private equity bankers.
Right, what
they call hedging arbitraging.
Ah, yeah, too big of a word for me, Brett.
That means kind of legal, but
I see.
So you got in on some hedging.
That's, How about that? Yeah,
that's a good bet.
Yeah. So, but it was scary, and now with. This whole situation for the Falcons, it sounds like Kirk Cousins had no idea.
He didn't know, according to his agent.
A couple of minutes before it was announced on television, said, "Hey, bud, glad you're getting comfortable down in Atlanta. We just drafted a quarterback in the top 10, and it sounded like he didn't take it well."
He's famous for never, ever, ever cursing.
Yeah, he is.
You think he's cursed since then?
I think he did. He might let a word loose, but
with somebody,
I mean,
with that
maybe
type
even
of record,
the dang word. I mean, but they say he's famous for never.
Well,
no matter, you know, infuriated or not, never.
I don't want to second guess a man that obviously has that good of a track record.
But, I don't either.
I sure would be letting a couple words fly if I got.
Well, as y'all
like
both
that.
Know real well, that's something Kirk Cousins and I have in common. Right?
Heck yeah.
You do, Brett. You do. I can
vouch.
No,
not quite.
It's a Friday, if that's what we want to say.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was a good draft. I didn't think there were a ton of big-time surprises outside of a couple here and there. Obviously, Michael Penix leads the day. But I'm really interested. I mean, there's maybe a couple surprising guys that are still left on the board, but definitely a lot of guys still left and curious to see where they go tonight.
I loved Detroit getting Terry and Arnold to go with Brian Branch. And, to, 3 years in a row, they've had an Alabama player. And I loved, and I'll get to it, I loved what Minnesota did. Mm-hmm. They got their locker room better. So 1983, famous for six quarterbacks in the first round. Mm-hmm. Last night matched it. The six in 1983. John Elway won. Todd Blackledge, number seven. Yeah, that Todd Blackledge. Jim Kelly, 14th. Tony Eason, 15th. Tony Eason had just played for Illinois in the Liberty Bowl in Bears' last game here, and then the draft was the next spring. Ken O'Brien, number 24, who had a good career with the Jets, and Dan Marino at 27. Tell me the three Hall of Famers out of this class. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix. Give me the three Hall of Famers out of this class.
Yikes. I'm going to go Drake May. I'm going to trust Jaden Daniels. And I'll go with Caleb Williams. Why not? I'll go with the first three that were taken.
I like that. I'll go with, for sure, one of the top two.
Sure.
Either Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels. Then I'm going to go Drake May.
Okay.
And J.J. McCarthy.
Really? Wow. You got a little more faith in J.J. McCarthy than a lot of people do. Wow.
Winner.
Well, that is true. Former hockey player, though, Brett. We know how much you love hockey, so that's definitely got to be in there.
You know I love hockey.
Oh, man. Oh, of course. Meditates before games. I mean, stays calm, cool, and collected. He's throwing many, many, many words out there. I would like that. J.J. McCarthy is a Hall of Famer.
I saw him in a big win at the Horseshoe 2 years ago.
You sure did. You sure did. And, I mean, you're right. He is I mean, there's no doubting that he is a winner.
I do feel like there's one guy in this draft that really went underrated, and that was Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback that went to the Eagles. I feel like he's the best.
From Toledo.
Yeah. He's the best cornerback in the draft, and the Eagles got a steal with him.
And
Represented by Jimmy Sexton.
Is he really? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy was right there in the green room with him, congratulating him as soon as his name was called.
And Nick Saban, after he got picked, saying that, you know, that's a guy we really were trying to get into the portal.
Yeah,
so
was.
We could get him, but he wouldn't go. He wouldn't jump into that portal. So.
And a lot of people use that as criticism of Nick Saban and of Alabama with tampering.
No.
I know reading comprehension's at an all-time low these days.
Yeah.
Again, he said he didn't go into it.
Exactly.
If he had, we were going after
that
him.
That is the high praise of Alabama wanted this guy so bad that we were keeping such close tabs on him.
That the second he hits it, we're on top of
him. Yes, yes.
I guess everybody thinks these deals just mystically happen.
Sure.
People don't listen. Exactly. They obviously didn't want to hear what he wanted to say.
Well, and obviously when it's Alabama and Nick Saban, you know, people are just trying to find stuff to run it down, the dynasty that Alabama is. Well, we'll talk plenty more about the draft, plenty other things to get to. So let me set up today's show before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, Alan Bell from the AB3 and Driving the Line. He'll join us to talk some wagering, plenty to get into. Got to get his thoughts on the draft last night and also some picks as we've got the NBA playoffs and Major League Baseball going on right now. Can't forget college baseball. Alan Bell has done a great job this year when it comes to the collegiate diamond. So we'll talk a lot of that with Alan. 3:45, Showboats, they're back at home Sunday afternoon against the Michigan Panthers. I'm really excited for this game. I think it should be a really, really fun one for the Showboats. So we'll talk a little bit about that game. We also have to get to Showboat Bankroll. 4 o'clock, Bruce Marshall from Vegas Insider, CBS Sports, and BamSports.net. He'll join us, talk more wagering with him, probably get his thoughts as well on the NFL draft, but certainly more picks for the NBA and for Major League Baseball. We'll have to get a quick pick from him for Bucks and Pacers, because when we're done talking to him, that game will be tipping off. 4:30, we'll talk NBA playoffs. We had three games last night, so we'll talk about those and the games we have tonight and into the weekend. 4:45, we'll get to big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Max Chadwick, the college football analyst for Pro Football Focus. He'll join us. We'll talk a lot about the guys that went in the NFL draft last night, maybe some guys that are still available going into tonight. We'll talk a lot of draft with him, but also a lot of college football transfer portal, who have been the big winners, who he's been impressed with, maybe disappointed with, and what they've done this offseason. So plenty to get to at 5 o'clock with Max Chadwick. 5:30, we get to what's trending. At 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Taco Bell Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together. Head out to Family Leisure for factory direct pricing on swimming pools, spas, and patio furniture. It's patio season. Get by Family Leisure. Check out the new 2024 patio furniture sets. Pool season, it will be here before we know it, so buy now and get in line for your pool installation and get preseason pricing. Also, save $1,000 to $5,000 on all spas and swim spas, and they've got special pricing on all in-stock saunas, theater seating, pool tables, and outdoor kitchens, but only at Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
Produced by Johnny Hill, we're Sports Time, and we're with you until 6 o'clock, and we want you to be a part of our show. And you can join us on the Sissy's Law Cabin text and call number at 901-360-8255. And all our guests will appear on that very same number at the Sissy's Law Cabin guest talk and call at 901-360-8255. This hour of our show brought to you every day by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2024 models and always special leasing options. Call them at 901-334-9673, but better yet, stop by the one and only Lexus dealership in town at 2600 Ridgeway and put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2024 flagship LS500, and you'll be looking and driving in style, driving luxury and confidence, knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and that makes for the luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day has got to be the NFL draft last night. I'm pretty sure all eyes were on Detroit in the sports world to see what would happen. We'd kind of been building up a ton of chaos towards the top of the draft. New England was trying to trade out of number three. There were a couple of other teams, including maybe the Chargers at number five, that were open for discussion. We knew the Bears at number nine were open to calls for teams trading into the top 10. And then we knew of several teams outside of the top 10 that were ready to move in via a trade. But really, nothing crazy at the top. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr. I think everyone thought that that's the way it would go. Now, obviously, there was some question mark. Maybe if New England moved out, somebody moved in that liked J.J. McCarthy better. Maybe that happens. But I was always pretty confident that that's how the top four would shake out. Then maybe a little bit of difference from most mock drafts, where Joe Alt goes number five to the Chargers. A lot of people I'd seen had Joe Alt going seven to the Titans. But, you know, when you kind of think about it, you know, the Chargers need...
Greg Arias told us he wouldn't
sure
be
did.
There.
He sure did. And so, I think a lot of people, once we got closer to the draft, kind of started realizing, well, Chargers right there at five, they're certainly not drafting a quarterback, probably not going to take a wide receiver or anything. They really need offensive line help, so they take Joe Walt. Malik Nabers, J.C. Latham, and then it gets crazy. Michael Penix Jr. A lot of people thought that he would be late first, maybe even a second-round guy, but he's taken number eight overall. And the more and more we're learning information, it sounds like the Falcons were trying to figure out what they were going to do. They were, you know, taking a couple calls on trades, and then kind of started to hear that there were a couple teams looking to move up around that spot to get Michael Penix Jr., and they were in love with him. They said, that is our guy. They went ahead and took him. Now you see with Kirk Cousins, he just signed a four-year, $180 million deal. Now the first 2 years of those is guaranteed, so $100 million of that is guaranteed, and that throws a big question mark. What will they do? Do we get 2 years of Kirk Cousins while you know, the young quarterback learns what he needs to learn, and then you throw him in there? Maybe, but also we can't forget that Kirk Cousins just had Achilles surgery in November, so how healthy is he going to be this year? Brett, you mentioned it earlier. This is not a 21-year-old kid that played a couple years in college and now going to get to be in front of the bright lights of the NFL. This is a 24-year-old that has spent multiple years in college, had to go through adversity of surgery and missing time. So
one in the Big Ten and in the Pac-12.
Which is very hard to do. So I love Michael Penix Jr. I hope this works out for everybody in the Falcons, because they have a lot of really good young pieces, but we'll just have to see what happens. J.J. McCarthy goes a little bit later at 10, and then Bo Nix rounds out at number 12, where we see all six of those big quarterbacks going in the first 12 picks. Blew my mind.
What a horrible job Gus Malzahn did with Bo Nix.
Oh, man.
If Bo Nix doesn't get out of there, he's not in the first round last night. He's not drafted. His football career looks vastly different. That's supposed to be St. Gussie specialty. Goodness gracious. My top story, round one, in the books, and the list of winners and losers is being compiled. The winners, here's a winner, Daniel Jones. Not only did he not have a quarterback get drafted he had to compete with, he's got Mr. Nabers, and that will really help him. Other winners, Detroit, Rock City, it looked great.
Oh, it sure did.
Roger Goodell, he held his composure all night, booed lustily every time he would go to the mic. Maybe if he would unbutton that third button, that would convey being even extra more cool to the young people out there, and they wouldn't boo him as much. Goodness gracious, you're 70 years old, button your shirt. But one loser last night for everybody's right now is crushing Atlanta. I don't share that sentiment. Minnesota was a winner like Houston last year. Houston getting C.J. Stroud on offense and getting Will Anderson on defense. Last night, the Vikings, their locker room got so much better with two winners. J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner. I loved it. But the big winner of the night, Coach Nick Saban. Oh, I mean, parked it. Yeah. He was great to listen to. He kept me into it all night.
Wow, that's awesome.
Not top story of the day.
Yeah, I think that might have been outside of, you know, Michael Penix and maybe a couple of other picks. I think that might have been the biggest takeaway of the night was Nick Saban on the draft and just how good he was. My not top story of the day has got to be the NBA playoffs. Three games last night, Magic a 121-83 win over the Cavaliers. That makes that series 2-1, and now Magic kind of have life. They played much better. Defense looked a lot better last night for them. Shooting still is kind of hit or miss for this team, but I do think they can maybe take one more in the series. I still think the Cavs are going to win it, just with what they showed in those first two games, completely dominating Orlando. But maybe the Magic can make it interesting. Maybe they win one more at home, and this shifts back to Cleveland, a 2-2 series. Second game of the night, 76ers at 125-114 win over the Knicks. Joel Embiid looked unbelievable. A 50-point game last night. And then we learned after the fact that he has been battling Bell's palsy for the last week or so, and has been, you know, partially paralyzing his face, which is definitely scary to even think about. But he was awesome last night for the 76ers. Now, Mitchell Robinson on the other side, he had kind of a tie-up where he got a flagrant foul, Joel Embiid did, when he pulled Mitchell Robinson down. Then Mitchell Robinson had to leave the game and did not return. So definitely something to keep an eye on for the Knicks. And then that last game, Nuggets all over the Lakers. I thought Lakers came out early, played well, and I thought that was going to be the one
Denver
they were
was
able to steal. And sure were. Now 11 straight wins by the Nuggets over the Lakers in regular season or postseason, last 11 times, have all been wins. And it really hasn't been that the Lakers have been playing, you know, terrible or really bad. They've played well, but it's just this Denver team is just too much for them. So good slate of games today and then into the weekend. But last night was definitely fun.
My not top story right now is where the Falcons are. There are a lot of stories out there by credible people that the Falcons moved away from hiring Bill Belichick because they were scared some of the kind of the permanent employees, the administrative side, tickets, marketing, things like that, apart from football, that they didn't want him around because he might be too mean to them in the workplace. And he might be too rigid in the workplace. Yeah. Are you kidding me? You passed on that kind of coach, and you hire Raheem Morris because you might be scared Bill Belichick might scare the secretaries? Unbelievable. And now this last night with what they did to one of the two of them, to either Kirk Cousins or to Michael Penix, they did no favors to. To one of them.
Well, and they didn't do any favors to Raheem Morris either. I mean, now he's got to go out there and answer all the questions right after the draft.
Right. Best point.
I don't think he wanted a quarterback, but now he's got him.
I mean, Arthur Blank may know that lumber business at Home Depot, but whew.
Yeah, it was an interesting pick to say the least. Well, that'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we're talking wagering with Alan Bell.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our Family Leisure Studios. And joining us now to talk some wagering, Alan Bell from the AB3 and Driving the Line. Alan, thanks so much for joining us. Got to start with the NFL draft. What'd you make of the Falcons coming out of left field and taking Michael Penix Jr.?
Yeah, man. First, I appreciate you guys having me back. And, yeah, it's definitely out of left field, but you know what? You can never have too many quarterbacks. Like, you can't. And, you know, with Kirk Cousins, yeah, I mean, he just paid him a bunch of money. But, yeah, I mean, we've got to be planning two steps in advance. And, you know, I say we, like, if I were a general manager of any team, it's, I don't hate it. Like, I know that, you know, there were questions about it. I don't hate the move at all, to be honest with you.
I think it's lessened as people have kind of examined it a little bit and thought, you know, and Goodell today saying we're getting ready to go to 18 games sooner rather than later. You're right. Too many quarterbacks is like the guy sitting around going, you know what, I'm just making too much money.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you know what, I just don't know what to do with all these houses that I own outright.
Yeah, I'm tired of these vacation houses.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's the thing with Cousins, man, is like, you know, again, like, you're one play away from him being done. And you know, we don't put any of that in his cases. I'm just saying, like, you got to be prepared, man. I don't hate it.
Yeah. What were some of your other takeaways from what we saw last night in the draft?
The 49ers, taking Vicky Pearsall, wide receiver out of Florida. I mean, that's a perfect fit. He will
sure
be right in. To exactly what San Francisco does. And, you know, now we're going to see, do they trade Brandon Ayuk? Do they trade Deebo Samuel? You know, what do they do with that? But thought that was a great move. I don't know what the Broncos are doing in quarterback position, right? Like, nothing against Bo Nix, but I'm confused. And, you know, I'm not going to be somebody all over Sean Payton, but, I mean, how long are we living off that Drew Brees Super Bowl, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, man, like, I'm not saying it's a good coach, but, you know, some kind of QB whispering God, I don't know about all that.
Yeah, you're right about when does the expiration date finally hit, and he played it out in New Orleans, never got really close to another, got a bad call a time or two in the playoffs, and then last year it was pretty much a disaster. Even some thinking that, you know, he might quit in season and go back to Fox.
Which would be wild because, I mean, you know, not only, like, you know, all the moves and the money that is spent, done, changing things up. You know, again, I'm not being negative. I just don't know what they're doing. They're just collecting a bunch of quarterbacks that I just don't know about, man.
Alan, I'll say what I think you're being nicer than me saying. Sean Payton's rolled around with that tuna Bill Parcells image, and he ain't.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he's taken over this franchise, you know, like he's just, you know, running the show around here. And it's like, dude, you know, you did have Drew Brees leading that thing. We're going to find out. We're going to find out here real quick. But Broncos fans, you better hope that I'm wrong and Sean Payton's right, because that entire franchise, he runs the show with everything. The GM ain't making a move unless he agrees to it. Big things for Payton.
Well, I've already taken one shot at him, and I never pass on taking another shot at Gus Malzahn. Unarguably, who was wrong was Gus Malzahn coaching Bo Nix in college. If Bo Nix doesn't get out of there, he's not playing football for a living.
No. And now he's a first-round pick, right? If you want to be negative, you know, too much on Bo Nix, because, you know, that's what the guy did, this past year at Oregon. So we'll see that. But, they didn't play their cards right, coaching on him.
Yeah. Not at all. Talking to Alan Bell from AB3 and Driving the Line. A lot of guys still left on the board for the NFL draft tonight as we got the second and third round. Is there a guy that's still left on the board that either you're surprised is still there or that you think, yeah, that guy's going to come off the board early tonight and he's going to be a steal for a team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's not a huge name that, you know, that I'm looking at like, oh my gosh, no, I can't believe, you know, that he hasn't been taken. You know, you just look to the defensive players, right? Like, there are so many, you know, not only big name, big play defensive players, because it's so offensive, you know, in the first round of the draft. So you go to see, you know, what are these guys going to do what it looks like here. You know, I'm fascinated with the wide receiver position as well because it's always deep. And yeah, we're beyond the big names. But, you know, like we said, like with Ricky Pearsall, right? Like, there are names and there are players out there that can make a big difference, man. So, yeah, I mean, there's not really that big one name, you know, that I'm staring at, but there's a lot of talent. This is a deep draft. Like, it's going to go, like, through the fifth round, I think, is what most, you know, scouting type people had said about this draft, that, you know, it's five rounds of really, really good talent. Well, but what about you guys, man? Like, anybody that you guys are looking at, you know, out that way?
I'm intrigued by Spencer Rattler. Not that I would jump at him because he kind of scares me. It's a little too wild child for me that he keeps both teams in it in college. I only thought he had about two great college performances, and that was beating UT and beating Clemson in 2022.
Yeah, he did those back-to-back, didn't he?
Like, sure did.
He was, against Tennessee, I remember that game. He was perfect. Like, he was unbelievable, man. I agree with you on that.
Well, Alan, we've also got the NBA playoffs going on right now. Fun night of basketball last night, but we got three games today, and the first one starting in less than an hour, 4:30 Central, Bucks and Pacers on ESPN. Do you like anything gambling-wise in any of these three games tonight?
Yeah, so we've got Giannis out of this game, correct?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong there. Yeah, look, I like the under of this one. It's going to be the game. Don't get me wrong, but I like the under in that. And then you look at the Clippers, man. Like, what are we going to get out of them tonight?
Yeah.
Like, is this a team that we could believe in, or is it not? Right? Like, and I'm leaning towards not. I just don't know what to do with them. I know that injuries have been, you know, all over the place for them, really all season, man. But, you know, Dallas just seems like a team that's just better. And I don't think that Dallas is all that great. But they're just better, man. So give me the under the Bucks Pacers game, and give me the Mavs with the points there. What about you guys? Anything you see? Anything you like? Who do I need to know, man? What are you guys looking at?
I like that. No, I like what you, those two that you have. I'm interested for this late night game, though. This is probably the one I'm most intrigued about. Timberwolves have just looked so good in these first two games.
Phoenix now last stand.
Phoenix, yeah. Phoenix really needs a win kind of back against the wall tonight.
Yeah, they do. You know, and especially, you know, you got to get this one now because, you know, they always say, you know, the series starts when a road team wins. Well, buddy, you don't want that road team winning, man. Like, I'm with you on the Timberwolves, too. They're good. That's a good basketball team. Like, and they are trouble to deal with because, you know, they can score, but they can play defense, man, and they can clamp down. I'm with you on that. That's a good one right there, dude. Yeah. And you know what? I don't believe in the Suns. I'm going to roll with the Timberwolves with the points, man.
I
don't believe in Phoenix at all. I think that they're a team that if you give them a reason to quit, they'll go ahead and take that reason from you, man. Yeah, I really like Minnesota to show themselves tonight and just go boa constrictor and choke them out. Yeah, I'll take them with a point.
I like that. It's going to be a fun weekend in baseball. I'm really excited some of these matchups. I know Brett and I, we've been talking about the Cardinals weekend series against the Mets, who have certainly been playing better than that really awful start to the season. What are you looking at this weekend in Major League Baseball? Anything you like tonight or going into the weekend that you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah, so tonight, right, and you're right, man, and you know, the Cardinals, man, it was tough seeing, you know, Bush like that, man, you know, just kind of spare for sparse, you just don't really see that all that much, but, you know, I want to watch that one, the Braves and the Guardians, I'm really excited to watch that series. Guardians are really good.
That could be your World Series.
Mm. It could be, and I'll tell you what, man, I'll take the under in that game tonight. I think it's going to be very low scoring. Yeah, I say that it'll be 18-16, but you know, both of these teams are really good offensively, but they're both, you know, solid pitching, especially Cleveland. Yeah, man, like if you're betting the Guardians here, I don't blame anybody. They're a good baseball team, but I'll take the under in that one, man, because I think runs gonna be tough to come by for sure.
That's under 8.5.
Yep, love it, man. Love
which
it.
Is kind of standard fare for the National League.
Yeah, right. And you know, the Braves are the winning games, but their star players really haven't shown out, man. Ronald Acuna, he gets walked a ton. Matt Olson doesn't look all that good. It's really been the Marcelo Zuna show down there, man.
Yeah. It really has. Before we let you go, Alan, college baseball, anything you like this weekend for college? You know, Tennessee got a big win last night against Missouri. That's actually funny. I was somewhere last night, and I pulled out my phone, and I flipped it over to Missouri, and Tennessee, I think it was on, like, SEC Network, and my video was, like, really grainy, and they were in, like, the sixth or seventh inning, and it was 9-0 Tennessee, but it was so grainy that I thought the 9 was a 0. I was like, oh, man, Missouri's giving Tennessee a game, and I was very wrong. But what do you like in college baseball this weekend?
Yeah. Tennessee should handle their business there. I'll say this. If you would have played over in college baseball this weekend, what do you got, Alabama, Ole Miss? Yeah, like, go ahead and ride those overs. Ole Miss gonna come back, man. I know it was a tough one last night, but they're going to put some runs up for sure. And if Vanderbilt here in Nashville against Mississippi State, I think Vanderbilt handles its business against Mississippi State this weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you. That Vanderbilt team's been really impressive this year.
Yeah, so very good. Very good.
Yeah, I think they roll. Well, Alan, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Always a lot of fun getting some picks for you and talking some ball. And enjoy your weekend. We'll do it again next week.
Hey, look forward to it, boys. Y'all be good, man. Take care.
Thanks, Alan. Alan Bell, he joins us every single week from AB3 and Driving the Line. I say it all the time. Check out their daily show. They give out picks. They explain why they're giving those picks every morning, Driving the Line, over on YouTube. Go check them out. But let's go ahead and get to a quick break. When we come back, Showboats, they're back at home at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium Sunday afternoon against the Michigan Panthers. We'll talk about that matchup. We'll also get to Showboat Bankroll. That's next on Sports Time.
You already know you can listen to Sports 56 anywhere with the Sports 56 app or at sports56whbq.com. But you can also watch us daily with live video of all of our shows on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
I'm rocking my Showboats hat today. I'm very excited about this weekend as they're finally back at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. It feels like it's been a while since they last played here, and they've had a couple road games that, you know, have not been fun by any means. But, you know, I said it yesterday when we were talking to Steve Macy. I think those games were a lot more competitive, a lot closer than those final scores look, than that really what that record looks sitting at 1-3 going this weekend. We've talked so much about that San Antonio game. You lose it in the last minute. Birmingham, will be completely honest, they did not play well in that game. But then I thought last week in St. Louis, they played really well early in the game. Coming out of halftime, you know, St. Louis made adjustments. They didn't. And, you know, lost it at the end. It kind of started to unwind there in the fourth quarter. But this Sunday, you get a 2-2 Michigan Panthers team that has really struggled all season long, and I think a great opportunity for them to get another win and get back to 2-3. And I mentioned it yesterday as well. That's how last year started. 1-3 to start the season last year, and then at the end of the year, we were talking about a playoff push and trying to get into the playoffs. So I think people should still be positive about this team, and I think I'm at least very excited about Sunday's game.
In the last 2 weeks against, I think, the best two teams on the road in this league, and the two teams that own the road matters against these two teams. Sunday will be fun, of course, honoring with the bobbleheads and ceremony for Pepper Rogers and Reggie White. Also, $6 draft beers during the first 45 minutes after the gates open. FanFest area, single game tickets, $10. Great forecast for Sunday afternoon at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
And, that's great.
And can see a real fun game. The Showboats are a 1.5-point favorite. Mm-hmm. Last week, I won, Johnny won, and Bryant took a loss. I'm 3-1 for the year. Bryant and Johnny both are 2-2 for the year.
I'll say it again. When I was watching that game on Saturday, started the game, I was going, all right, smart
play. Counting your cash.
Let's go. And then, because I remember it very well, I started watching the game at my house. I finished watching the game at the Tiger Spring game. I was getting ready to go in at the Tiger Spring game, and they were wrapping up. And they had a tent out there for, you know, showboat tickets, you know, getting people to buy tickets and stuff like that outside the spring game. And I said, one of the guys saw my hat. I was wearing my showboat's hat. He goes, all right, showboats. And I said, team's really struggling right now. And he goes, well, I know. I go, no. I mean in the game right now. It was really good at the beginning.
Like literally this second.
Yes, like right this second. It was really good at the beginning. Now you're losing me showboat bankroll money. And he was like, what are you talking about? I'm kidding. I didn't bring that up. But no, it was a tough loss for me last week. But hey, that's why there is always next week. And that's where we're at today.
So your pick is?
I'm going to go back to the well and take the showboats 1.5. I think they get the win, and I know this league gets real funky with that 4th and long, the 1 point, 2 point.
They're on the right side of it this time?
I mean, well, here's the thing, Brett. I feel like when you're like betting NFL or college football, like there's a lot of people that say, well, if you feel like that they're going to win the game, just take a minus the 1.5, because the likelihood of them winning by 3 and 7 or 7-6 is far more likely than them just winning by 1 point. That always catches a lot of people. In this league, it might be the opposite, because very easily could get a 3-point conversion or something like that. But I do think the showboats cruise to victory in this one. Forget the points. I think, well, why not? They win by double digits on Sunday.
How much?
Well, let's say they win by, let's get funky. Let's get real funky, Johnny. They win by 12.
12? How much money?
Oh, I thought you were asking how much they win by. I was trying to avoid this because my money management has not been good. We'll just throw.
You're up for the year. You're up 10. Well, you're up 10-25. You're
okay,
up 25.
Okay, well, that makes me feel better. We'll go a cool 20.
20.
Okay, Brett. 25.
25. Okay, 25. Oh, Johnny. All right. Bryant takes showboats, laying the 1.5. Johnny, and you are up 9:30, so in effect down $70 since we all started with a grand.
I'm going with the showboats for 40. Nah, I ain't going to get too funky with the numbers this time, Brett. About 45.
45 again. Back to a 45.
I'm waiting for you to pull out like a 47 or something.
I'm about to do 41.
Let's try to keep it in $5 increments for the scorekeeper, please. I'm going to go $23. No, I'm gonna go $25, and I take Michigan plus the 1.5. Showboats win 19-18.
Oh, give me a break. Okay.
Showboats win 19-18.
I like it. We'll see. I think they're gonna win. I feel very, very
I hope
good
they do. They need this
about Sunday. They do. And I feel really good about it as well.
And back at home next week.
Sure. Yeah. So two really good opportunities for fans to get out there. Like you said, forecast this weekend looks really, really good for that game. So it should be a lot of fun. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up this hour, get to a break. When we come back, we're talking more wagering with Bruce Marshall.